How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Or just welcome to it. If you're just joining us, rolling out of the rack after the weekend, we've made it to March. We got through the two longest months, not in terms of days. Obviously, February is actually pretty short when it's all said and done, but we got through, hopefully, the worst of winter. Although today will be testing us because Environment Canada has just issued a snow squall watch for Ottawa. So we had been telling you so far this morning that they're expecting 5 centimeters this afternoon. Now they've upped it 5 to 10. Ooh. With 60 kilometer an hour winds. So by the time, if you are having to drive this afternoon, could be a little bit messy. Yeah. Out there. So just watch for that. It's going to be a crazy day with the temperature as well. It's +3 right now. It's going to be -9 by this afternoon. It's going to be -19 tonight. And it's going to be -28 with wind chill. With wind chill. -28 at this time tomorrow. So if that's a 31-degree change, Simmer, you like to make that old, you like to flop that over to, what's the formula again?
Double it and add 30.
Double it and add 30.
Yeah, I got to stick with that versus dividing it and whatever, and my terrible line I use with Pierre Maguire. And yeah, the weather yesterday morning, old Maddie had a little hockey practice, which was nice for the kids over at Leeta Marina, hot back out. I don't know if you're up early enough. It would have been probably 7:45 we left. Boy, real Riverside South, just blank. Blanketed in fog, and that was kind of weird, right? As you see the transition of the weather we're having, and you hear the melting snow and the drip coming off the roof, and now we're going right back into winter.
I had to I had to drive my daughter was home for a reading week from university. Yeah. I had to drive her to the train yesterday morning. Okay. And so from Kanata, fine, drove to Barrhaven, fog.
Yeah,
pea soup fog. Well, it's probably the lack of trees, Hammer. That's probably what goes on there.
The
reason for that.
The overall truth has nothing to do with
it. No, it is. No, it's a fact that every person in Barrhaven has 4 vehicles. And so the emissions are actually.
3 of which are parked on the road.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's actually a sister city to some.
In the garage.
To Beijing, basically, from a pollution standpoint.
Yeah. One may be in the driveway, sometimes two, but usually most are on the road. Has that worked its way over to Riverside South now, Simmer?
You know what?
The parking on the street as opposed to the driveway or the garage.
Oh my God. No. Okay. So Mira's in a condo, so that's fine. She used to be in a townhome. I would just come out and I would look around and I'm like how many people are living in this house? Like, how can there be so many vehicles for every darn home? And that was even with one or at least two in the driveway. There were still a bunch, and where she lived was a bit of a side street. So of course everybody would go there and end up parking their vehicle. No, a lot of vehicles and just about every house in Ottawa.
There you go. All right. And Hammer, has anything changed through the winter with the parking on the street?
Or is not that, at
no,
all.
No.
No, of
Did
course
you see,
not.
See the story that on the weekend, I think CTV Ottawa had it, that the city of Ottawa has issued, I think, $2 million worth of parking tickets so far this winter.
Yeah.
For people parking on the street when they're not allowed to.
Well, you have the no parking because they're going to come and clear away the snowbanks. That is going to help widen the road and help you park a little bit easier on the street. And then you're there right there parked on the street, so who cares? Oh, I saw a couple of people on my street last week get towed away. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. See you later.
Well, when they tow you, at least that happened to us two winters ago, they actually just moved the car a couple of streets. And as far as the towing or the...
They give you a ticket, by the way, when they do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. A little service fee there, ticket. I think there was something on top of it for the movement fee. But Eric Macromello was on this, and this was way before the snow came, guys. Hey, let's face some facts here. During the pandemic and all what's going on with the city, revenues are way down. We're going to ticket the ass
revenue
off it.
Opportunity. Yeah,
exactly. Because you're going into suburbs now. Yeah. And honestly, you could blanket the suburbs in tickets if you want to do that as far as parking and the technicality of it. And I know Eric was pretty vocal and a couple of shout outs to the mayor on Twitter. So like I said, that's a pretty simple for me. I'm assuming that the speeding ticket action is way up too. Hey?
When they want to, they can do that. That's a year-round one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if you go into the police department if there's a board there, right? And it's kind of like the United Way. This is where we're at for the month, and this is what we need to close at. Mm. Now we need another 100 tickets here today.
Be closing.
Yeah. Go out there and start ticketing. Hey? Yeah.
Well, there's a stretch on in Barrhaven on Longfields Drive that just received a nice speed camera. So it's a 40 zone. And now we've got a speed camera in there.
Speed camera or a red light thing?
No, it's a speed camera.
Really?
It is an actual speed camera, and there's no lights around it. So now a little slow going on that stretch of road these
days. That's good there, Mr. Leadfoot. You may need that.
It's not me. I'm always doing 45.
Yeah. You're good at five.
So you can go five above.
I wonder if they set that. set that to be a little bit over.
They have to, because is there a fine below 15 kilometers an hour? Is there an actual fine?
For going too slow?
No. It's for going above the limit. I don't think there's a price for anything below 15 kilometers over, as far as I know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought the rule of thumb, at least like on 100 kilometers, was always 109 you were safe. Is that accurate?
Oh, on the 401, you're good at 120.
Oh, 120? Okay.
I've had a few on that bad boy.
Maybe 125. Yeah.
I had a little court case.
My old next door neighbor was actually busted. You know, when you're driving to Toronto, there's a sign at one point just outside of Oshawa that said, speed is enforced by radar by the plane.
Yes.
Yeah, I always laughed at that one.
He actually got busted for that.
No way.
Absolutely.
It actually is there.
He was taking my daughter and his daughter to a hockey tournament.
Oh, my God.
Were they late?
Absolutely. Got pulled over for speeding.
Wow. Yep.
So it does happen. I don't know. I'm not sure
how. Do you know what over? I'm curious in what.
Yeah.
The aircraft would radio ahead and say, oh, I got one for you.
Yeah, well, I imagine how easy, you know, if you're going, I think he was going like 130, right? You know, he was going a little bit faster than the flow of traffic, probably. I don't know. I'm just saying everybody goes 120 on the 401, right?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
130 to 135, you're starting to drift by. Well, if you're going fast, my old rule of thumb is I just want one guy going faster than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and I'm not to the local constabulary, I'm not a speeding advocate. I'm just, you know, but everybody's a little bit over. But just don't be the fastest one over there.
Yeah.
So that absolutely is enforced. So
you see those going through the green belt on Green Bank or Woodruff, and that it says enforced by.
They do?
Yeah.
In the green belt?
Through the green
belt. You're kidding.
There's signs.
Have you?
I've never gotten a ticket that way.
No. Are they actually dropping down? And is it a Cessna that drops down right on Green Bank?
They just come and pick you up
with the red.
They just airlift you. Hey, it's got exactly. It's like a claw.
So here's
it's like an eagle coming down. Just grabs a hold of your vehicle.
Here's one thing I wondered if the you could challenge in court if it's one of these, you know, it's a plane that radios down to a cop on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't the cop, if you really wanted to be a jerk about it, and normally we're really nice to the police because we'd like them to knock it down, but aren't they supposed to have to show you how far you're over if you challenge them on it or when you go to court? And
well,
how
it must
do you
be
do,
the airplane must be able to do it as well.
Well,
then.
What do they do? They lock that in or something?
I guess so.
Do they?
I would have to. Well, how else are you in a radio head? You'd have to know.
Yeah. No, send you a photo. But, send you a photo in the mail.
Well,
right?
I guess. But does that technology exist? I just wonder if there's somebody out there will know the information or the answer to that. But I always wondered about that when you're busted from above. How they actually, they can say, hey, there's a guy down there in the gray minivan.
It's not a minivan.
A crossover. Who's going 128? Yeah.
It's the first time you recognize it as a crossover.
Well, he probably let him off. They're like, we're not going to take it as a soccer bump. So
Well, didn't you have to go to court for speeding through a construction zone?
Yeah, but there was nobody there. Yes, there's no construction workers there working.
Yes.
And I kind of forgot about that. But yeah, I was doing 130 through an 80. So that was racing.
Yes.
And I went to had to take a nice little day off work.
You had to drive to Oshawa?
Coburg.
Oh, wow.
I had to go to Coburg
yep.
and have a little court date, and it was really simple. Yeah, do you want to plead to this? Yeah, I'll plead to that. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And luckily, it was a rental car, so no insurance papers, so my insurance never found out.
That's
so
good.
That never went up either.
Wow.
Boom.
Nice.
Got a little lucky.
You could have asked me to represent you, because I also have been in court to challenge a speeding ticket here in Ottawa once before.
With your briefcase?
No, but the district attorney came out and
the DA.
Yes, exactly, and wanted to know what information. No, he actually
what was
said,
the DA's name? Harvey Dent. Gotham.
No, a speeding ticket became. I think I pled guilty to turning right and going into the wrong lane or something like that. I don't know what they pled it down to, but I'm like, yep, I'm good with that. Into the court.
That's a dub.
Later, Bob's your uncle. Yes, exactly. That is a
dub.
To be sure. All right. Anyway, I think we started by saying that the weather's going to get tricky this afternoon. That's how we began that conversation and ended up talking about speeding tickets through construction zones outside of Toronto. That's the show. All right. 7:21. Sens game day. Sens and Flames going at it tonight for the third straight game. Ottawa lost 6-3 on Saturday. The power play was the most positive thing going on. Remember, the power play was the big concern?
Yeah.
Power play's been pretty good lately. Got three goals on Saturday. Three goals in four attempts. Brady Tkachuk got a goal. Drake Batherson scored for the fifth straight game. Tell you who's gone quiet, though, It was 2 weeks ago tonight that Ottawa had the big comeback win over Toronto. Remember 6-5?
Yeah.
Remember who the hero of that game was?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, the daddy. Yeah the big save at one end, breakaway at the other end. That's the last goal he scored. That was 5 games ago. So Evgeny Dadonov, who started slow, then kind of, I think caught fire is maybe a bit of an exaggeration, started to score a little bit.
Yeah.
He's gone quiet again. The Sens could use some goal scoring from him and his line.
Yeah, and they really could. And you kind of look at the breakdown of the lineup. I would assume, JR, when you make a signing like that, probably not having the expectation he's going to play with White and Paul, you would assume the way things have laid out. And certainly the, kind of a shopping list, you'd like to have a better center between Stützle and Batherson. But you had to think with Norris and Tkachuk that would work out. And for a guy that on March 12th, 11 days from now, will turn 32 years old, a 3-year deal at $5 million with 6 goals and 2 assists, JR, put that on your checklist of, hey, he just has to be better. I mean, his entry on the power play has been decent. He certainly has some skill, but I want to see a whole lot more pace, a little stronger on the puck, and just overall, I think a little more sense of urgency. He is on my checklist of guys that needs to elevate.
I think that DJ Smith was asked about him, I believe, in Saturday's post-game show.
Yeah, he was,
And said, look, he had a bunch of good looks, and there was it on a power play just before the Flames scored the shorthanded goal, right, where he had the shot right in front and missed it, and I think Calgary went right down the ice and scored the goal. I think that made it 4-1. You think about that swing of that game on Saturday. It went from potentially 3-2, and Ottawa at that point having all the momentum of being down 3-0 to 3-2, going from 3-1, maybe 3-2, down to 4-1, and that seemed to be the ball game right there.
Yeah, no, it was, and that was kind of my feeling when 3-1, switch up the goaltenders as well. So, hey, you're rolling through on the critiques, and as I said, it's always different after a loss. As I said, there's some situations there, and I guess the nice part for the Sens, most of this circles back to some of the critiques on veteran players, where, again, as I go through my checklist of young players, and especially up front, I can't ask for a whole lot more as far as the way they played.
Drake Batherson scored for the 5th straight game, so he is obviously red hot. As far as what we're going to see tonight, we'll start in net. Joey Decord played the 3rd period on Saturday, only saw 5 shots. But I know that DJ Smith had said when they called Decord up, when Hogberg got hurt, he had mentioned that he wanted to get him in to at least a game, I think. I don't think he's talking about him coming in relief. I think he's talking about him playing an entire game. You look at the fact that they're playing tonight and tomorrow night, this would seemingly set itself up for Decord to play one of the next 2 games. Here's Matt Murray after practice yesterday talking about if he wants to play the 2 games.
I've played back-to-backs before, and it's obviously a different challenge, but it's one that I enjoy. So at this point, I'm just focused on, honestly, on today and getting my body ready for tomorrow's game. And then we're taking it one at a time. So right now I'm just focused on, getting what I need here today, getting ready for tomorrow. And then we'll go from there.
Ah, the old taking it one game at a time.
Yeah.
So, Simmer, would you play Decord in one of the games? And if so, what game would you play him in?
Well, you just touched on, and I think makes sense. My thought was, and it wasn't a thought. It was just more pretty cool that his family's from Montreal, mom and dad both from there. He certainly understands that. But your logic made a lot of sense. I don't think Murray was very good on Saturday. You're playing the same team again. Let's give Decord a look. And at the same time, Murray played very well against the Montreal Canadiens. It's a rival team back-to-back, so I'm fine with that. And as far as Murray, hey, I think when you're making the money he's making, where he's at, you got to say all the right things, right? I mean, you don't look at this, and there's this back-to-back thing that has become, you don't want to wear out a goaltender, but I don't feel like as far as Matt Murray, although he's played in 18 games so far, I don't feel like fatigue should be any issue. So whatever the coach wants to do, but this to me, again, I want as many looks out of things. And what I would also like, which was not provided by Hogberg, boy, I'd really like to see somebody, and I'm hoping it's Decord, hop in, have a couple of good games here, and actually challenge Murray a little bit, kind of push him a little bit. I thought we'd see some real healthy competition and goal, and with the way Hogberg played for the most part and the up and down with Murray, that has not been the case with Ottawa.
On text at 12-1200, when you do text us, standard messaging rates apply. Eddie in the Pothole writes, good morning, radio fellas. Let me start by saying that I've never played at a professional level, but I do have a wealth of experience as a road hockey goalie. I can't remember seeing an NHL netminder look more uncomfortable and unsure of himself. My advice would be to take a week off and then retire. Cheers. That comes from Eddie in the Pothole.
did not put this, but doesn't sound like a fan of Matt Murray.
Yeah, you know what? And there were better games last week, JR, and certainly the other Calgary game, I thought he played well. But yeah, the consistency portion of it, and I don't judge players just based on one game or if they have a bad game, JR. I'm just trying to get a handle on exactly what this guy's all about in a sense of, I would like, and again, for the 10 years that Craig Anderson was here, there was overall, I wish people, and I'm assuming they appreciate it now, there was a level of consistency. And certainly you got into a zone there where the starts were strong. He kept you in hockey games. There are first periods, and I guess and this day gives a flashback the way I played, JR. I had no idea it was going to happen every time I started an ice hockey match. And with Matt Murray, unfortunately, like I just feel like the first periods, and when you see a goal go in and that one that beat him over the glove where he just kind of followed into the net, I'm just like, oh, you know, you got to, in any case, but especially for where the Ottawa Senators, you want forward progress in a system and with young players, yeah, he's got to be better. And like I said, overall, for a big guy, movement is just okay. When in the zone has certainly been strong, but as you said, the shots and the inconsistency and some what should be easy saves, whether they turn into goals, they certainly turn into a lot of chaos where he's not able to secure the biscuit.
The inconsistency just drives me crazy.
Oh, it is,
I just, from a listen, I understand that you can't stop them all. Stop the stoppables. If you get really good, stop some of the unstoppables.
Yeah.
But just be consistent about it. Like, I can't stand from one game to the next not knowing what I'm going to have in net. And, you know, as much as, you know, Murray was not very good to start the year, and then, like, probably a week ago at this time, I would have been saying if we rolled the tape back, I would have been going, Matt Murray seems to have stabilized. Seems to have kind of found his game a little bit. He's not starring, but he's playing fine. He's giving them consistent goaltending, and here we are kind of right back at it after Saturday's performance going, he's waving at pucks. He's facing sideways at one point in one of the, like, it's just, he's just a little bit off again.
Yeah.
I just want consistency.
You know, and again, I don't even say it's a Pittsburgh effect, but for the most part, his time in Pittsburgh, I let in a clunk or two in the first period. Nobody even thinks, you know, maybe this wakes up the team. Well, Sidney Crosby and Malkin led and Kessel and everybody else. Well, I'm not worried about two goals. Well, I'm the Ottawa Senators, both psychologically and competitively. I just can't have that. So hopefully there'll be some improvement. And then the part that, and again, this is for lots of different things, being traded, COVID, new contract, whatever pressure you had in Pittsburgh, I just would have had an expectation where, you know, on the body language, like Craig Anderson, you know, you just hop in and there's just kind of a feel, and I'm not even saying visually, like from a facial standpoint, but just in his game where, I'll be honest with you, and Matt Murray, he doesn't instill a lot of confidence when I watch him. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like he is really trying to work hard to find a spot versus what you would think at this point would come more naturally to him.
And you know what? I think, and it occurred to me on Saturday as I was watching the TSN broadcast of the game. I think the issue is because, you know, they're back there in the tunnel waiting for the game to start. And part of what TSN television does, they roll through the starting goaltenders. The picture they have of him as the starting goalie, and of course, he doesn't have his mask on or whatever. Like, he looks like a homeless guy. Like, can we, you know, and listen, with all due respect to homeless people, I understand that personal grooming is not something that is available all of the time. Can we just get a little bit of an up? Like, his hair is kind of all over. It's like they got him kind of coming out of the shower. And
you think look good, feel good, play good?
Yeah, it would have been. And probably it's the team. It's not TSN doesn't, you know. But they're, look, can we just get an updated picture of Matt Murray where he just looks a little more presentable?
I
think it's exactly what you say, Hammer. Look good, feel good, play good. It's just not that picture.
Every
time I see that picture of him, and listen, David Riddick, who started for Calgary, he's not a good looking dude either. Like the two of them together, side by each on Saturday, I'm like, wow, that is a bit of a rogues gallery right there.
and
good thing they can stop the puck.
Well, yeah, and what's also funny, JR, because you see some of these guys, and Ryan Miller was the first I saw. He'd just come out of Michigan State. We're over at the World Championships in Gothenburg. He's playing for Team USA and had some guys or players from our team were on Team USA, and we're out having a pop after, and I'm like, who in God's name is that? And they're like, that's Ryan Miller. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Like, he couldn't
skinniest
have been,
calves
he,
in the NHL.
Couldn't have been more than $150.
Yeah.
And if you saw him on the ice with the big shoulder pads and the goalie equipment and certainly the style. And boy, he was one hell of a goaltender in the prime of his career, but you would have been shocked. And for some of these guys, yeah, they're all equipment. There's not a whole lot of body, not a whole lot of muscle on the physique.
Friend of the show, Tim in Eganville. He's the guy who has come to some of our station events. He bought the Joey Decord Arizona State jersey.
Oh, cool.
So he would wear that from time to time. Good morning, gents. JR knows I'm very much pulling for Joey. Would have been nice to see him get a few more shots Saturday to show DJ's ready. I'd love to wear my ASU 35 jersey tonight to cheer for JDAC. Cheers. That comes from Tim in Eganville. Now, just to kind of bring it up to date, and I saw you on social media yesterday kind of going back and forth with some people about Decord. Puckpedia, which is a really good resource. Okay. Again, it's kind of like cap-friendly. Pretty good resource as far as contracts and lists him. And one of the things that Puckpedia has that cap-friendly doesn't have is eligibility for the Seattle expansion draft.
Okay.
So it lists Joey Decord as being exempt, which didn't make sense. And I know I've spoken about this publicly, and I've kind of gone by what they have said. It doesn't make sense. In that he played one game when he signed out of Arizona State with the Sens to burn a year on his contract. That was in April of 2018. Has played two full seasons in Belleville since then, and this would be his third season. Well, any player who is playing his third pro season that didn't have a rookie contract slide like Eric Brandstrom would be eligible for the draft. So as near as we can determine, Joey Decord is not exempt from the expansion draft, so he would have to be protected. And again, you can only protect one goalie if you're the Sens. And as it sits now, you've got all four of the main guys. You got Matt Murray. You've got, obviously, you got Marcus Hogberg. You've got Joey Decord, and you got Philip Gustafson. All four of those guys, none of them are exempt, so you can only protect one as it sits right now. Simmer, which one would you protect?
As it sits right now, I guess I'd probably still go with Murray. And a couple of things is that I've locked myself to the contract.
Doesn't that basically make him exempt, though, that Seattle wouldn't pick that up?
Yeah, but I guess I have not seen enough, and I'm high on Decord. I don't know enough about Gustafson and Hogberg. I guess I just don't know enough, JR. I'd like to reconvene at the end of the year. I think Hogberg could be. Decord. Like, I think there's a possibility if I see him play.
You soured on your man, Hoagie?
I don't know if I'm soured, but again, I'll also go back to kind of the entire body of work. Would I be, super worried about losing one of the guys right now? My gut feeling is that, I'm going to like Decord, and I like the small sample size that I've seen. But as I said, right now, for the Ottawa Senators, and I don't think Seattle's going to take Murray, but if I've given up a second-round pick and I've locked into that contract, let's go the rest of the way. I'm just saying, because I don't, like I said, I know what you're saying, and you you could do that. I would wonder from the athlete standpoint for a guy that doesn't show me a ton of confidence, but then you could also say, well, at that kind of money, protect another asset and not worry about losing him.
You think I'm advocating protecting Murray?
No.
Because I'm not. No. Not in the way he's playing right now. That contract of three more years and $18 million, I don't think Seattle's taking that on. They're going to have their choice of goaltenders. So unless somebody calls Seattle and Ron Francis and says, pick him from Ottawa and then trade him to me, and I don't know what team that would be. Yeah, I mean, Matt Murray's not playing at a level right now where any team would want to take on that contract. So for me, I would look at it and I'd go, okay, which of the other three guys do I feel has a chance? Now, Marcus Hogberg has shown, and as much as you liked him last year, he's shown nothing this year. He's got to get back on the ice. If he doesn't get back on the ice and turn his season around, I'd see no reason to protect him. And I don't think Seattle would, unless they've got some book on him from years past that says he's a great prospect. You're bypassing that. So then it comes down to the two younger guys. Which of the two do you think has the better chance? Yeah. As it sits right now, I would say Decord. But I think it's a total crapshoot as to which of those three guys that you would protect. But I would not be protecting Matt Murray.
Yeah, no, and makes sense. A couple of things. First of all, I would say Decord based on the athleticism over Hogberg. I don't know Gustafson well enough. And to this on Matt Murray, another interesting part, JR, I wouldn't even look at the salary cap hit. With the way his contract is structured, he's actually got 3 years and $21 million left on it because he's only being paid four this year. And then he goes 6, 7, and 8. So that right there, no, you're absolutely right. That would not work. So, like I said, what I've seen from Decord, the feel around him, knowing the dad's background, he talks a good game. He looks a good game. He's certainly very active and very athletic. Let's watch a little bit, but I think it's certainly a possibility. And more importantly, big picture, you're kind of going through these lineups and you're solving some of the forward group going forward. And you're looking at the defense and you're looking at Bernard Dockers if he's coming in Pinto. You don't want to be back in the Brian Elliott era, right? Where that's where the Ottawa Senators were for a number of years, were they not? Where, until Craig Anderson came in, they just had this incredible roller coaster of what, Pascal Leclerc to Brian Elliott to a bunch of other guys, that they didn't find anybody after Ray Emery was bought out.
Yeah, yeah. You've kind of, the issue is, and again, I'm not going to go back on my word. I thought when they got Matt Murray in a trade, I thought it was smart. I thought the contract was 1 year too long. I didn't care as much about the money. They're kind of locked into him now for the next 3 years beyond this.
Big
so
time,
that makes the difficulty is it makes, because I think there's going to be a ton of goalies available because it is an expansion draft year. You're going to have the a bit of, well, I don't call it the pick of the litter, but if you wanted to move on, like the one slight criticism I have of the process would have been, knowing that this year for Ottawa would again have been a rebuilding year, is that maybe hold off one more year on figuring out the goalie part of it, only knowing that a lot of goalies would become available this summer and that maybe you could have landed, you know, somebody either that has, you know, I can't say better track record. Matt Murray's won two Stanley Cups, for goodness sakes. But I don't know. That might have been. But again, I at the time I thought, listen, go out, get Murray, sign him for 3 years. They sign him for four. Right now, I'd say it's 50-50 on whether that's a good move or not.
No, and same thing on me. I thought, wow, this is great. I've always been a fan. Now, he was trending in the wrong direction the last couple of years, so you sign him. Now, my logic would have been, I need to stabilize that position. And it's not about winning right now, but if I want to get anything done with young players, I need goaltending. But I know what you're saying. I mean, you look no further than Columbus and a lot of other teams next summer. Some pretty good goaltenders are going to be on the move.
Joey Decord, by the way, is 24, will turn 25 this summer. And how many goalies have we seen where it is 25, 26, 27 years old before they finally reach their hit their stride, where
they
kind of figure it all out? Maybe he's the next on the list. So that'd be right now as it sits, why I would lean toward him. But let's see. You know, that's why I'd want to give him some games right now and see what we have.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we could see him tonight. We'll find out. 5 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff, Sens and Flames. And if you're getting a little tired of Ottawa-Calgary, it's okay. You got a respite tomorrow, Montreal. Oh, and then two more games against Calgary later on in the week out in Cowtown Thursday and Sunday. We'll take a break. Keep the feedback coming. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200 as we continue along. It is a Monday morning. We're glad you're with us right here on Sports Radio, TSN1200. Welcome back. 7:45 here on this Monday morning. First day of March. Coming in like a lion, it looks like. Some bad weather on the way probably by this afternoon. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Pierre McGuire will join us. We'll talk lots of hockey with Pierre coming up after 8 o'clock. Maybe we'll get to, before then, Patrick Kane. Big night for him. Is Patrick Kane a Hall of Fame player? We'll go down his biography here in just a second. But let's clean up a couple of things. Hammer, you mentioned the speed trap.
Yeah.
Not a red light camera, but a speed trap that's gone in Barrhaven. Is it on long fields?
Yes, it is. Right by Kinross Park.
More than a few people have texted in this morning. You were suggesting that you could go a little bit over.
Well, I've gone 45.
Okay. My mom got dinged at, is it 50 there?
I thought it was 40.
Okay. My mom got dinged at 53. My girlfriend got tickets on long fields for doing 51 and 52.
Tickets.
So back-to-back jacks.
Oops.
On that one.
Wow.
Okay.
I got a ticket going 11 kilometers over on Bayshore Drive. That's from Mike in Barrhaven.
Well, it looks like the limit might be 10 kilometers over there.
Yeah, and a $75 ticket apparently is what it is.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yikes.
All right, and again, we're not advocating, but we're just kind of wondering where the line is.
Yeah.
Especially Hammer, Mr. Heavyfoot.
Do you,
5K over.
On social media, and I think it was last week, the OPP or whoever has a Twitter handle put out one kid. Was he going, 200 kilometers or something crazy?
On Green Bay.
Yeah.
Barrhaven.
Do you like that tactic, or do you think that those guys actually bring that to school as like a badge of honor? Or do you think, you know what, it's a bad enough thing at home? I'm just wondering. I'm just trying to go back into kind of a high school mentality that, you know, some guys might think, wow, look how cool that is. I was on social media there, and I guess when you get home and you get the fine, and
depending on the punishment from the parents, I don't think I would be
hit
showing
him in the
that
pocketbook,
off.
Baby, hit him in the pocketbook
for sure.
I mentioned the radar from planes about how that works. Tim says planes use markings on the road to determine a vehicle's speed. There usually be paint marks spread out every couple of hundred meters, and they calculate how long it takes to go from one paint mark to the next paint mark to determine your speed.
Oh.
That comes from Tim.
Okay.
So there we go. Never knew that.
Okay.
Learning something new every day.
I told you that the listeners would have the answer, and the listeners will have the answer. Either that or Tim just made that up, but entirely believable.
Sure. Wasn't the old school speeding way before radar was a cop, and even in an unmarked vehicle, they would basically get on the road with you, and for a 10-second period would be at whatever speed, and then obviously that would measure your speeding ticket, right? They would be driving at the same speed as you and say, hey, you know what? Got you here. I was actually in speed with you. And that was also, even if you had a radar, I think that was a way to kind of double check, where some people were saying, oh man, that's a faulty radar system. Nope. I was driving exactly the same speed.
That's the old ghost car, as it was called.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't even heard before. And then my kids hit me with ghost car. Just like I didn't know. Speaking of, and I've been on this earth for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been driving for a long time.
You sound embarrassed about this.
Well, a little bit, because my kid told me. She said, you know, sometimes when you get a new car, you're in a rental or whatever, and you're pulling for gas, you don't know what side the gas tank is on, right?
Oh, no.
What?
You don't know that there's an indicator by the gas gauge?
Never knew that.
There is?
Exactly.
Both of you.
No, I've never. I don't even.
Simmer. There's a little arrow right by the gas tank indicator thingy that it'll say be an arrow left or arrow right.
Yeah.
I never knew that, or did they just start doing that and I haven't caught on yet?
Wow.
They any car that I've had in recent history, so I'm going to go 10 years.
Okay.
Has had that indicator about which side the
I was
gas.
A little bit embarrassed because I have two vehicles. I have a 2020 and a 2010. So I have a nice 10-year spread in vehicles.
Yeah.
One might be known as a beater.
Yeah.
Anyway, they both have the gas tank symbol on it, which I had no idea.
No idea. And thousands of rental cars over the year, guys. I don't know how many times I get to the gas station, hop out, take a look. And obviously, if it's
Do you go back in and go over, or do you pull the hose way to the other side?
Oh, that's a reach around. Oh, you're reaching around the car with that hose.
Me too.
Oh, I've never done a reach around. No way.
You take it out and then line it up towards the correct side of the car.
You'll actually get in the car, start it again.
No way.
And move around to the other side.
No. I have stopped the vehicle before I've approached the pump.
Okay.
Because then I want to know. Okay. Obviously, it's not on the driver's side; it's on the passenger side. Every time we have a story, guys, I have flashbacks. Arizona State. I was thinking about how I played the Ping golf course there, which was so beautiful. And then as far as getting gas, that's the World Junior in Sweden. I'm with old Fergie and Mike Penny, and they say, listen, we're heading out the end of the tournament. Tommy Bergman, Simmer, you want to grab the vehicle and go and get gas? I'm like, oh, absolutely. I'll have it be my favorite. No, I'm even serious. I'm excited. I'll go there, a nice little middle of northern Sweden.
I'm excited to get gas.
Well, I know. But I get the gas. I put the old American Express Leafs card in there.
Yes.
We're good to go. I fuel that raid up, and I'm like, okay, back to the hotel.
Good job by me.
Driving back to the hotel. Just leaving there, and I hear this massive. God's name happened. And so I had gone into pay, and I had forgotten to take the gas pump out of the car.
Oh, no.
So it was nicely pulled off, though. Assuming this had happened before, because it snapped off nicely. And then now I had to go in and kind of banter with Mr. Sweden, who didn't speak any English. And I appeared, or at least I thought I had resolved the situation.
Yes.
Then to see when I returned home, Mike called and said, you know, there was an extra $400 charged on the American Express. And Mike was nice enough to look the other way on that
one. Nice. Well, there's a viral video that was I saw last week.
Did you see that?
One?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a woman, and she was anytime something is dubbed Karen, I have to click on it, right? She's a Karen.
Yeah.
Right? She just comes back, and it's a couple of guys in the car, and the guy in the passenger seat is filming her. And she comes back and she's just tearing the strip off the guy, the driver. And she's going, why are you calling me and having me pull over or whatever? Well, then, and they're just having a big old laugh about her or whatever. And then they kind of point toward her car, and her car is stopped in front of them. Well, the entire gas tank, the entire hose is she had been driving down the street with the... It almost felt like a bit of a setup, that viral video, almost believable, but these guys, if it was good acting on their part.
Yeah, well, once I got fooled by the McDonald's lady, who I thought was a real one. Have you ever watched that one where she complains about the McDonald's and she went to get the McRibeye and why they didn't supersize it? It was just this classic video. I always put it on to laugh. Then I realized she was an actress. It was no good. But when you talked about videos, JR, I saw that you liked it last week. I thought you were talking about the one where the person hits a curb, does flips in the air, and somehow lands stands next to the pump, right, and then gets out of her vehicle and just seems to appear to walk in. Do you know that one? You showed that last week. That's what I thought you were going to refer to, where she literally lines up in front of the pump after doing flips, and you know, you're just kind of like, you know, well, that certainly did. If that was staged, then that's a stunt driver, right?
Right. Yeah. From Mike, there's an indicator for which side the gas tank is on? WTF. Yeah. What next? How much gas is in the car? Yeah.
So How much is left?
Two of the three people did not know that there's an indicator of what side the gas tank is on beside the gas tank indicator.
And I got to be I got to be honest with you. In the case of a rental car, okay. But I don't think after I purchase a vehicle, I need an indicator as to what side the gas tank is on, to be quite honest with you. So I think it's overrated. Okay?
I'm curious to know how you guys don't get more speeding tickets, because you probably have no idea how fast you're going.
Okay, easy there, Chachi. Easy, Chachi. Jason writes,
the speedometer.
Fellas, my brother, who's been a mechanic for 35 years, only recently found out himself about the little arrow indicating which side the gas tank is on. That's from Jason, whose brother is a mechanic for 35 years. So I don't feel bad because Jason's brother's a goof like me, too.
Yeah, no, first thing I'm doing, actually, when I get back, is going to take a look at that bad boy.
Yeah.
Seeing whether or not that is on the vehicle.
JR, my mom was telling me how nice that feature was on a car she used to have, and then my 8-year-old brother said, like that? Pointing to the indicator.
Oh
dear. Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know what? Listen, I'm not a big manual guy with cars. I don't tend to, you know what? I'm not a car guy, per se.
Who wants to read that big book?
I like it to start.
Yeah.
I like it to go. And then I like it to stop. That's the three things I really want from my vehicle. I don't have a lot of time.
Are those features available at Kadata Ford?
They are.
Because as a person that pushes vehicles for part of his living,
yes,
very interesting.
I leave it to the experts. Oh, okay. I'm only there.
All those features are on the new sexy Ford Bronco.
The goat mode.
The goat mode, exactly.
Any terrain.
And
you want to check those out, because right now they're in the showroom.
Yeah, and also, JR, you're being a stand-up guy. Does everybody not hate that person? And I worked with one in Washington who, when you would say something to him, he doesn't know it, but it's the old yes, like I do know it, right?
You know-it-all guy?
Yeah, or not even know it, like just that, oh yeah, of course. You could have easily just slid that one right in there.
You mean like Hammer just did right now, like pretended he knew about the gas tank indicator thingy.
Yeah. I just watched that Karen video because I didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
She slides that pump into the passenger side like she's going to take it home as a trophy. Or something.
A few people have said they think that's a fake video.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Maybe we can do an online vote. But
you've watched Carla from McDonald's as well, Hammer, right? I played that video before,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I
thought that was real, too. She gets mad at whatever because she can't get the old saucy McRib.
Yeah, exactly. That they didn't supersize it. And the lady said, I think the last thing you need is anything to be supersized. Hey? Yeah, no, but it was one of those ones for a while until I found it wasn't real, that I would just say, want to laugh once in a while. She did a real good job. And then I saw some other stuff. She'd done some other ones. So kind of ruined it, but still good for a good chuckle.
All right, you guys, just stop. I wish my motorcycle had that indicator of which side the gas tank is.
Oh, that would be nice.
Listen, keep it coming. Yeah. I got broad shoulders here. If you want to pile on your friend, old JR, that's fine. JR knows a little bit about a lot of things, just not a lot about a lot of things. That's all. All right, 7:56. We'll get to more hockey talk with Pierre McGuire coming up in just a second. Let's take you back to Final Rocks last night at the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. Ottawa Curling Club's Rachel Holman had battled back from 7-4 down to tie the game at 7. Kerry Anderson and Team Canada has a last rock in the 10th end. She's got two in the house, so Rachel needs a freeze to keep the match going.
A little bit of guess on the wait here. It has to stop. It has to be the shot rock. It has to be the shot rock, and it will go too far, and it will be a second straight Canadian championship for Kerry Anderson.
All we're missing is make the final from Vic Router right there. 9-7 is Rachel Holman's final shot sails through the house and leaves Team Canada the 2 points and the victory by a score of 9-7. And so we've got back-to-back champions for the first time since Rachel Holman did it in 2013 and 2014. And for Rachel, who's won it three times, It's now three straight losses in the Scotties tournament final, which is, I'm sure, incredibly disappointing. But listen, I can't say enough complimentary things, nor can anybody who's either A, done anything pregnant or had someone important in their life be pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
She's 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Curling at a, well, she was the second All-Star skip. That's how well she curled this week.
Yeah.
Had an outstanding week at 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
So good for her. Unfortunately, came up a couple points short.
Yeah, and how inspirational is that? Should probably be even a bigger story. And for Emma, when having her on, then hearing her in the presser, gave a little shout-out to Rachel. Just nice for them, JR, and not to finish in second place. He wanted to win, and if there is a world championship, play in it. But boy, oh boy, I'm assuming just to get out, make a little bit of cash, but more importantly, just to do what you truly love, right? I mean, almost all these curlers have another job. This is kind of the hobby professionally on the side, and must have been just awesome to be around other people and be around your team.
Take a wild guess as to how much the win is worth to the winning group, the winning foursome. Now, there's also always a fifth, and I'm assuming the coach gets a little dough, but how much do you think the winning prize is?
On the women's side, I'm going to say $30K.
$30,000, okay. Hammer, you want to take a guess? How much is the winning team make at the Scotties?
$30K? It's got to be more than $30K right now. $100K. Oh, boy.
$100K. You read it. Don't
pretend. I did not read anything. I
Mr.
thought I was
Gas
way off.
Tank Indicator, I've known forever how much the winning team at the Scotties makes.
I thought
makes.
I was way off. You gave me that look of
$100,000.
Well,
plus,
awesome.
I think you also get Sport Canada funding as well.
Do you think that's divided evenly, JR, or would each team
great
go
question.
In? And if you're the star of the team and you're putting a team together, I would assume almost like a band that you would get a little bit more as a top dog. No?
I don't know. It's a great question. We'll put all the questions out to the listeners, especially anybody that's played curling at a high level. But I would think that the four that curl would probably split it all for one, all for one for all, and then I would think the fifth makes less, and I don't even know if the coach gets any, maybe a little stipend. But if I had to guess, I think they all make the same.
Okay.
But that's purely a guess.
I'm going 20K for the top four, 10 for five, and 10 for the coach.
Okay, so, well, that's I'm just relatively the same. Yeah, I'm going a little bit more. I think the fifth maybe gets spending money.
Okay.
All right. We'll detail and get more into that throughout the course of the morning, but we'll take a break right now. 7:59. Get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. Run down the scoreboard, including all the NHL from last night. Patrick Kane. Talk about with this with Pierre. Scored his 400th goal last night. His resume is pretty long. Not over yet at 32 years old, but is Patrick Kane on his way to the Hall of Fame? We'll talk about that with Pierre. And, of course, get you set for the Sens and the Flames going at it tonight for a third straight game. Looks like Eric Brännström might be a scratch for the game tonight. We'll talk about it all with Pierre McGuire coming up next right here on TSN 1200.